bring the guest in a segment. I just want to read the bio here. Frank Mortimer is his name, and he's an adjunct instructor at the Cornell University Master Beekeeping Program, the vice president of the New Jersey State Beekeepers Association, a certified master beekeeper. I mean, who doesn't have that certification?
That's awesome.
And he is the author of Bee People and the Bugs They Love. He's with us this afternoon. Frank Mortimer, how are you? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk.
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
We're doing awesome. And again, I set this up not knowing that my colleague here, Sue Thomas, loves bees. So this is a perfect fit. But let's talk about the St. Louis connection here. Because what year did you graduate from my alma mater, Parkway West?
Yeah, I'm a year younger than you. And Mark, it's been over 30 years since you and I have had a conversation. But we did have a class together, if you remember.
No way.
No way.
Help me out here.
Yeah, I think it was a math class, and I distinctly remember talking to you in Parkway West.
Really?
So that, I do have that.
Well, I was a fat kid, fat radio kid back then. I don't know if you
remember
that.
Well, I'm a fat beekeeper now.
Well, that's so you were 80. I graduated 83. You were 84. And then what got you into the beekeeping business?
It's kind of funny is that I never was around bees. I didn't know anybody that had them, but I just always thought it'd be fun to be around stinging insects.
Yeah. What a goal to set for yourself. Bees are one of those things, like my daughter, I think I'm freaked out. There's not a lot of things that scare me, but you get a bee buzzing around me, even though I told this to my daughter, and I should probably take my own advice, because she was freaking out about a wasp or a bee last week. I said, Alexa, I've been on the planet for 56 years. I've never been stung by a bee. So I don't know if you guys, Andrew,
wasps
been stung?
Are evil.
I've never been stung by a bee or a wasp.
Yeah, I've been stung by a wasp.
Yeah,
that's no fun. They're awful though.
But what did get you started? How did you learn all about bees?
So I just want to comment on what you just said, because I always like to tell people that bees and yellow jackets are very different from one another, and most people get stung by yellow jackets. And the way to tell the difference is those are any kind of wasp is shiny and smooth and looks like plastic. Bees are fuzzy, so fuzzy good, plastic bad.
Yes.
I like that. There you go.
Frank, could you tell us, I'm sorry, of course I'm already taking over, I apologize for that, but tell, people should not be afraid of bees in general, am I right?
That is correct. So like with my daughters, but when they were both 3 years old, they're now 6 and 4, they held a frame of bees which can hold up to 4,000 bees. Honeybees are not going to bother you unless you bother them. And that's, like I said, they're much different than yellow jackets that are buzzing around trash cans and stuff.
What happened? Do we have a definitive answer from that mystery from a few years ago when the bees were seemingly disappearing?
So that was what they called colony collapse disorder, and that was like a perfect storm of events. Now, the number one thing that was impacting them, and there was other factors involved with that as well, but that is still impacting bees, is there's a non-native parasitic mite that is came into the U.S. in 1987, and that's what's decimating the bees worldwide.
And that's still happening, Frank? That's still going on?
It is. It's like the big joke about beekeepers is we talk more about the mite than we do about honeybees.
Wow.
And in addition to the mite that sucks the nutrients out of the baby bees, it also is a vector for bee diseases and bee viruses that only affect bees. So you think about this world we're living in with having to social distance. Bees can't socially distance. So the mites are spreading more disease more rapidly, so they're actually killing more bees.
Frank, they need to wear their damn masks. I mean, how many times have I said it? Wear a mask. Hashtag wear a mask. They haven't learned, have they?
Yeah, and I've been trying to tell them, Mark. I've been, like, you know, making it out of pollen to entice them, but they still aren't doing it.
So how much do you actually, because this is something that's pretty foreign to me, Sue has this fascination, but if you're a beekeeper, you're making honey, right? Or you're collecting
Correct.
The honey.
Yeah, so the whole reason bees make honey is so that they have food to eat through the winter. So in Jersey, and probably similar in St. Louis, you need to leave about 60 to 80 pounds of honey on the hive for them to make it through the winter. After they make that, then I can start collecting honey. So I average per hive for myself about 130 pounds per hive.
Okay, Frank, let me ask you this. Do you have any way to combat the mite that's killing them all? I mean, is there an answer to this?
There's different miticides that we have to treat the bees with. And the problem is, like, if you think of, like, a dog that has fleas, that's a bug on a mammal. We're trying to kill a bug that lives on a bug.
Oh.
And so it's real fine. But there is medications both natural and chemical that you can use to treat the mites, but you have to stay on top of it.
I think it's interesting that the way, do you know how bees communicate, Sue?
I don't think I do.
They waggle their butts, their bee butts. Frank, is that true?
That's 100% correct.
Whiplash propelled us into a time warp, Captain.
Hang on, I hit that accidentally again. Darn it, I was trying to do this. Hey, Frank, do this again. Take two. Ready? Hey, bees communicate in a way where they waggle their butts, right?
That's 100% correct, Mark.
There we go.
Ding, ding, ding.
My God, first time I've ever done radio.
Well, the thing that I think is so important, Frank, well, talk about the importance of bees to this entire, you know, production of food.
Sure. So one in every three bites of food we eat is as a result of the honeybee. And
one in every three.
How is that?
Yes.
Possible?
Yes, because they pollinate that much foods that either we eat or other things we eat consume. So like a good example is the almond pollination in California, which is the single largest pollination event in the world. 80% of the world's almonds come from Northern California. And the New York Times reported that that's a $7.6 billion industry. And in total, the crops across the U.S. total over $20 billion that are all dependent upon the honeybee for pollination.
What's that thing you wear over your head when you're going into the bee colony so you're not getting stung? Is there a name for that
thing? Yes, called a veil.
Okay.
I have a face that's built for a veil.
So you wear the veil, you're protected, but you've been stunned, I'm guessing, stung multiple times. Is that true or not?
Yeah, if I get stung, it's because I did something wrong or there's something wrong with the hive. But yes, I make a lot of mistakes, so I have gotten stung.
What do you mean if you do something wrong? So what would get you stung?
So like, for instance, I call beekeeping forced zen because you have to be present and in the moment, or you will. So if I'm not paying attention or if I'm, you want to be like Mr. Miyagi in real smooth moves when you're out there. Mm-hmm. And if I'm too jerky, cause I'm kind of a spaz, then that can jerk around the bees, and then that'll end up stinging me.
But is it kind of like the people who have to take COVID tests every day, where you kind of get used to it or not?
It is. You do get used to it. And it's funny, like you had said, you hadn't gotten stung. And I think if and when you do, you'll say, oh, that's it.
Not big
because
of
part
deal.
Of the problem, yeah, if you think about it, we grew up watching the Bugs Barney cartoons when the bees came out like a big fist and socked you in the face.
Yeah.
And that's not how they act. So when it happens, it's all, like I always say, the people that have rose bushes, they get stuck by the thorns. It's the same thing. You're like, it's like a little scratch.
Well, you know, you say that, it's interesting, because even though I definitively said I've never been stung by a bee, there is one instance that I remember when I was a kid living in Chicago. We're playing softball or something like that, and there was a grassy field. I lived across from a high school, and, you know, you had the clover stuff, and I stepped on something, and it stung a little bit, and I thought, well, that might have been a bee, but I was never convinced 100%. Didn't hurt that much. Could have been a bee.
Yeah, and if you didn't find a stinger, it could have even been a bumblebee, because they're the most gentle of the stinging insects. And like in some countries, they actually think that the bumblebee sprays acid because it's more like a burn than like a sting.
Don't tell my sister that. When I was probably, I'm guessing 10 and she was 7, there was a bumblebee nest in our dryer vent. And
awesome.
I decided to throw rocks at it.
Oh,
why wouldn't
geez.
I? And I didn't get stung, but my sister
Denise
got stung.
That's a horrible story.
I was just experimenting just a little bit.
Frank, okay, what can I do in my own yard to help the bees? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first and foremost is that leave a few dandelions. Like nobody wants a whole yard of dandelions.
Okay.
But those are one of the first things that bloom, and so the bees go to those to collect the pollen and nectar. So leave a couple.
Okay.
Two is reduce the amount of pesticide or herbicides that you're putting down, like don't on the grass, like so that you're not killing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And three is that if you're going to plant anything that attracts pollinators in general, plant it in big bunches, like think of like 3 foot across, because it's easier for the bees to go when there's a grouping of them.
Oh, okay, cool. I've planted some bee balm last year, and I'm really hoping that it works out this year.
Frank Mortimer, Bee People and the Bugs They Love, the name of the book. It's out right now. Before we let you go, tell me about the Honey Cup, because there's a honey tasting competition that you sort of headed up, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah, so it's funny that, like, if you look across the U.S., they'll have honey competitions. I call it more like a beauty pageant. It's how clean the glass is, how clear the honey is, but they don't taste it. And I'm like, come on, you need honey because of how it tastes. So what I did is that there's a small college here in New Jersey where we meet. And so we invite the public. It's like 500 people. Everybody gets a vote. Ooh. And what's amazing, when you taste local honey, it's like wine. There's all these different peaks and valleys and flavors. Awesome. And then that can really come out. And so when you have 30 different honeys, it's amazing, even though they're in the same geographic area. So imagine like the St. Louis County, just honey from there. And then you would get 30 different flavors, even though it's so close together.
That's fascinating. Awesome.
Look, this is great stuff. And if you're in, do you ever get back here? Get back to St. Louis?
I do. It's been a while, but I have gotten back.
Yeah, come see us if you do, Frank. Love to see you in the studio and so would Sue Thomas.
Yay, Frank.
Beat People of the Bugs They Love. You can find it right now, all the typical locations. Frank Mortimer, Parkway West alum, St. Louis guy. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, everybody. Take care now.